Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, man? I gotta get that. I gotta
unmuted,
get that opening
ready
verse
to go.
Down.
What's that?
I gotta get that opening verse down. I always feel like I'm about to just spit the whole thing, and then right when he starts, I'll be like, "Damn it!" I gotta get
the thing I like about Ram is it's got that old school feel. And that, when I say old school, let's make it clear. Let's go ahead and somewhat date ourselves. I'm talking old school,
yeah.
Old school. That nowadays when people say old school, they're like, I like that old school stuff, like Kanye West. Like, wait, what? Oh, God, I'm old. But it's got that feel of the old
right.
school when everybody rapped like Curtis Blow, where every single rapper was, Ribbit on the football field, and Ribbit, hit your feet. Like that kind of old school rap. And you don't get that. Nobody
wait,
raps like that anymore,
that,
and so Ramit's the only time I get that kind
of. Night. Show over. Show over. That just made my night.
Because nobody flows like that anymore, so that's the only time I get it is Ramit.
That just made my night. I would definitely say show over, but we got a good show here lined up, and we got two special guests that's going to be joining us here. Actually, they're already ready to roll. Two of TST's very own. We have Brian and as well as Ralph. You guys there?
Let me go ahead and bring them on.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
That should be Ralph and Brian right there. There we go. What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Doing good, man. Enjoy being a winning team again.
Yeah.
Again? Hold on. Again? Whoa.
Hey,
ooh,
man,
that's a lot. That's a long time span.
Yeah, it is a long time span. Way too long.
All right, so look, before we get started, let's give you all a chance to kind of introduce yourself so everyone knows who you are, because the names probably don't always match the names that you see on the site. So, Ralph, why don't you go ahead and start with you, take a minute to introduce yourself.
Hey, yeah, I'm Rams in the Hood on TST, born and raised in Los Angeles, Rams fan my whole life, my dad. Grew up a Rams fan in L.A. and then over to Anaheim when all the L.A. Locals wrote them off when they moved to Anaheim. When they went to O.C., they just wrote them off. But stayed with them, doing comedy, just got back from a week in Vegas, so I don't feel like a person right now, but we're here.
That sounds like a good week.
It's too long. A full week in Vegas is literally 4 days too long.
Oh, I know. I'm already here. Oh, I know. Brian, what you got for us?
What's up, guys? For those that don't know me, I'm TD Anderson. Enjoy posting on the web all the time with you guys. Rams fan since the beginning of time, I guess you could say for myself. I was part of that OC crew that enjoyed them in Anaheim. Lucky enough, I think I've written this up before on the fan post. I was a ball boy for a couple years for the Rams. So I got to work the home games. So good times, man. Kind of hard giving up on a team that you've been a part of the franchise.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's some people that gave up after last year that's kicking themselves this year.
Definitely
some people out there. I know it. They're probably listening right now. I would like to say kiss our rear ends and a big F you to.
But yeah,
we can't cuss, right? Just so I get that out of the way.
We endorse it.
It depends. get me fired up a little bit. There's no telling what I'll say. But anyway, we got ourselves a great show lined up after a great win yesterday. And, you know, let's just start off with that. You know, what did you guys think about what you saw from the Rams? Brian, let's start with you. What did you think about what you saw from the Rams yesterday?
Well-balanced. I love the fact that they're forcing Gurley down the throat of teams. I thought they got away from that in the Seattle game. But the last few weeks, you know, it's pounding Gurley, taking their shots and hitting on some of them. And that ball to Sammy Watkins was phenomenal. So, I mean, just seeing things like that really kind of forces defense to play run and pass. And good luck with our team doing that right now.
What are you thinking about it, Ralph?
Loving the adjustments. I think, moving Brockers over and getting Walker and Smart in the middle, really helping out that run game. I mean, still giving up a couple pretty big runs, but, you know, it's much improved, and special teams, obviously switching out Austin for Cooper has just been, you know, amazing. So offense still putting it down, defense and special teams doing good.
So, Joe, yesterday we saw the Rams offense put up 473 yards of offense with 51 points. Now, me personally, I know I've mentioned this in, like, the staff chat, but I can't be a coach because there's no way I'm taking my foot off the gas. Like, I'm going for 100, at least 80. Like, that's who I am, you know. But, like, when you see this type of performance, to me it stands out because it's like you know you're supposed to beat some teams. And, you know, we called this the trap game last week. And, you know, when you go out and you beat those teams the way you're supposed to beat them, not just regular win, but it's not like they lost the game, but you won the game. Those are the most impressive ones, like, to me. Like, where's your head at with this Rams team? Just, we've seen them win every type of game so far.
I think the part of it is, and we got to mention this, the Giants are a bad team, man. And, I mean, they came out of the bye. They didn't have Janoris. They don't have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. They don't have Odell Beckham Jr. They had a lot of guys injured. That's a bad team. When you give up third and 33, that's not a play call issue. That's not a talent issue. That's just a don't-give-a-damn issue. Just don't give a damn, which is great. As a Rams fan playing the Giants, go ahead. Don't give a damn. That's fine with me. The interesting thing to me was that while they were not giving a damn, Jared Goff had his best game as a pro. It wasn't really the 473 yards. It was just the execution, like Brian said. I think it was Brian mentioned the ball to Watkins. He had one pass that he missed to Sammy Watkins early on, and I tweeted something like that Goff-Watkins connection still got issues. And a couple plays later, you know, the Giants the Giants, again, not giving a damn and just letting Watkins get behind him. But Goff just puts the perfect ball out there. That could be the kind of thing that, you know, resonates going into next week, that maybe they get something going between the two of them because we're going to need it. And that's really the biggest takeaway for me was this was a game that the Rams are better than. They're better than a game like this. They don't need these kind of games. These games aren't going to get them ready for November and December. They got to get tougher tests, and so hopefully we'll get some of those in the weeks ahead. But it feels strange to say, but Ralph said it feels, you know, great to be good again. The Rams are good. They don't need these kind of games. They're a waste of everybody's time.
You know, what was funny about that first ball, and I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but that first ball that he threw to Sammy Watkins, It was the exact same spot that he put it against San Francisco, where everybody was just talking about how great of a catch it was in the past.
Made the adjustment, yeah.
He put it in the same spot. The difference was this time Sammy Watkins was expecting it to come to the further off to the inside, and so he broke off a little that way and couldn't adjust back over to it. But I was sitting there watching. I was just like, okay, I think that Jared Goff has found his sweet spot because he threw it the exact same way. So now I'm thinking to myself, like, as this season goes on, are we going to start to see more of these balls connected with him and Sammy Watkins? Like, that'd be something interesting, the extra dynamic that's added, because with them already hitting on all cylinders and so many spots on their offense, to be able to consistently hit that deep ball, that's a scary formula. So,
yeah. And the thing was, it was there, whether he had broke inside or outside, he had already beaten the coverage. It's just one of those things where they got to get on the same page, whichever page it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd rather seen it go over the inside shoulder. It would have been nice if it went right over that inside shoulder, just dropped it in the bucket. A little bit better now. Oof, he was open. He's got to hit that ball.
I definitely think that it's going to be interesting seeing how things progress with those two moving forward, because really right now a consistent – deep ball is about the only thing missing from this offense. Everything else seems to be clicking. And speaking of clicking, you know, the Rams had a stretch here where they were really struggling to score inside the red zone, and they were kicking a lot of field goals. That wasn't so much the case yesterday. Sean McVay really opened up the playbook. He threw some of everything at the Giants, and I personally loved it. What were some things that you guys saw yesterday that you really enjoyed, like play calling? Like, what was something that stood out to you all?
Well, that red zone flea flicker. I mean, you're talking about opening up the playbook, and he throws a flea flicker at the goal line inside the 20.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I mean, you're just seeing him try different things. I mean, it's just not Tavon on the jet sweep. I mean, but the O-line giving him time inside the 20. I mean, dude, I think there was one play where Robert Woods touched on. He had like 10 seconds to throw the ball. He was just standing back there.
Yeah.
I mean, those are things you see from Tom Brady when he's back there standing there in the pocket for it seems like forever. And we all know that wasn't the case last year. We would have never seen 10 seconds.
Or any year, for that matter.
Yeah. And the Gerald Everett end-around or what that was like, whoa. I was like, all right, let's see some of this athleticism. Loving it. And I was like, how did Tavon Austin get so big? Oh, that's not Tavon Austin.
You know what, Joe? When I saw that play, you were the first person that came to my mind. Because you're always saying, I'm sure somebody else can run that play. So when they ran it,
I didn't think it was Gerald Everett. The great thing about Tavon Austin's day, though, is because of that play they had where I think it was Cooper Kupp was the target and then dropped that lateral as he was swinging around.
Yeah.
Weirdest box score line I've ever seen, Tavon Austin. 0 receptions for 9 yards. Think about that.
Yeah. I saw that one, too. I was just like, okay, just call it a run. I don't know. But, no, I thought the play design was genius. And to be perfectly honest, if he hits it inside of the outside receiver, just in between those two receivers, he'd probably score instead of going around the outer edge and getting pushed out of bounds. And, you know, another play design that Sean McVay, I mean, he said during the bye that first week before everyone left, when he had his last interview, that he was going to be getting Tavon more involved. And then when they got back, he said it again that he's only going to be more involved going forward for the rest of the season. And he really showed some plays where clearly was 100% designed specifically for Tavon. But the one where the backfield is empty and he motions across and catches the pitch and everybody pulls. They have like 3 guys pull to that side to leave block. It was drawn up so perfectly and ran ideal. Like, Tavon got tackled on the 2, and it's because he tried to cut it back in instead of just going to the pylon. But you can see the creative juices just really pouring out at this point. You know, it's no more let's figure out how to get Robert Woods the ball. We figured it out. Let's figure out how to get Cup. We got that. You know, now it's about, okay, how can we get some more explosive splash plays, which is what Tavon brings, those splash plays. So I'm definitely enjoying the things that I'm seeing just out of Sean McVay's play calling and what the creativity that he's showing. I think a week off is what he needed to sit back.
He is a savant. I mean, my dad always likes to remind me that we're very close to the same age, and Sean McVay is coaching one of the highest powered offenses in the league, and I'm yelling at 8-year-olds and Madden. Like, it just blows my mind how young this dude is and how much knowledge he has. And by the way, I'm barely beating these kids, by the way. I'm running just Fisher ball. I'm running the clock out, using my fullback.
Wait. Did you just proudly admit that you're running Fisher ball?
Hey, man, these kids don't expect it.
Get off the line. Get off the line.
Hey, these kids don't expect it. Those wins are ugly.
Them
8-year-olds don't know what to do with 4 yards of the plant, man.
They do not.
Them 8-year-olds don't know what to do with that Fisher ball.
My deepest route is a curl.
That's it. 8-year-olds can't defend a curl. They never seen one
out there. So yesterday, you know, we talked about, you know, just with the explosive plays and the good plays that was drawn up and how well the team just played overall. I mean, they was really, really clicking on all cylinders for all three phases, you know, from offense, defense, special teams. As I was going back and I was reviewing the coach's film last night, I was just like, man, it's really hard to identify just a bad play. I think this was personally the first game where I was just like, you know, there was really no bad play per se. You know, like there was some, oh, yeah, you know, there's a mistake here. This could have been tweaked a little better. But there was just not a bad play that I could find. Was there anything that stood out to any of you all from yesterday's game? Ralph, go ahead and you start.
I think it was the Darkwa run up the middle for, like, almost 30. And I was, you know, I thought we would have, like, maybe gotten those kind of big plays out of our system, giving up those big plays. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was pretty close to as good as you can get against a bad team.
What about you, Brad?
For me, mainly, just missing on a few easy passes. I mean, you know I'm a big Goff believer, but I think he's still off target a little bit. He's still off target a few times. I mean, we've seen him miss Cup, you know, where he's really making Cup try and extend with his hands a little bit too far. I'd really like to see him hone it in just a tad bit more accurate-wise. But besides that, yeah, I mean, I agree. The middle of the defense, like Ralph said, to start the game, Darko was just pounding it. It seemed like right in between the guards on us. But they made some adjustments on that, and things kind of worked itself out. And that seems to be our weak spot, to be honest with you, defensively, is just trying to stop that. It isn't in between the tackles. It's in between the guards.
Yeah, and that's why I think we saw Walker in more after that and Smart kind of on those passing downs.
Yeah, it looked like they were lined up in a more 4-2, like a 4-D lineman instead of the 5 without a guy on the nose early. And then, like Ralph said, they seem to put that guy on the nose later on to take away that middle run.
You know, it's the halfway point of the season, and the Rams, they've played 8 games. They've got literally half of their games under their belt. So, real quick, we're just going to kind of go through. We're going to start giving out some season awards. So, we'll start off with who's the Rams MVP. Now, I know who my guy is. My guy has been the Rams MVP since February, but that's neither here nor there. And I got a good feeling who Joe's guy is going to be. But, Brian, let's start with you. Who is your MVP through 8 games for the Rams?
Man, it's tough. I got to admit it. Coming up with one guy right now is not easy. When it comes to offense, you got to love Gurley and how he's being used. But when it comes to just a single player that's made the biggest difference, my guy's Whitworth right now. I mean, the guy is locked down the left side. There's no one even comes close to Goff coming off the left side. I mean, everybody's going to make a play once in a while on the guy. But Whitworth, what he's done to the offensive line, the offense, he's irreplaceable. I mean, if there's one guy on the whole offense, you say right now, completely irreplaceable, man, Whitworth. Man, you see the difference between going from G-Rob to Whitworth this year. I mean, talk about a total flip. I'm watching part of the Detroit game right now, and it's nice just not even – I know Stafford's probably smiling because the guy's not on the field.
Yeah, he bent him.
Joe, I think Joe likes your pick because I'm pretty sure he's got the same one. But, Ralph, what do you got?
Well, when I think of the Rams MVP, you know, dominance comes to mind, and I just got to give it to my boy, Jake the Snake McQuaid.
McQuaid.
I love it.
Consistency.
I love it.
Dominance. Perseverance.
Oh,
strength.
We have our first curveball of the evening.
There we go.
That was a good one.
You know what? You know what's really funny? I can guarantee that half of the people listening have no clue who that even is. I can guarantee half the people listening is like, who the hell is he talking about?
Man.
I seriously,
get
you
those,
said Jake
get those
Snake,
Google
I thought
fingers
Plumber
out.
Was coming. I'm about to say, what the hell, Plumber?
Like, yeah, Plumber retired a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. He threw the curveball.
Yeah, you know, but in all honesty,
never hear his name, so you know he's doing something right.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, get those Google fingers out, and then you'll see about 45 highlight videos on YouTube. You know, go to the first one; it's the best one. It's like 14 minutes long, just perfect snap after perfect snap.
Just search the Showtime's
like,
archives.
Johnny Hecker.
I've written the Rams roster preview on Jake McQuaid every year. Do you know how hard it is to write a roster preview for a long snapper? Do you know how hard it is to write?
Honestly, it's the only one I look forward to.
Thank you. But consider this. I wrote 150 years about Jake McQuaid in 2015. A year later, I had to do it again. What 150 new words could I possibly catch? What are we learning about Jake McQuaid that's different every year? I don't know, but I keep pulling it out of my ass, and I do it, for people
I'll
like
tell
you
what we're learning about you. We're learning about you that you don't know what it means to copy and paste. Because I'm not coming up with a new 150 for Jake. Joe, who's your MVP?
I'm gonna go with the low hanging fruit and go with Todd Gurley. It's just
interesting.
The bounce back. I mean, obviously the offensive line is just they're setting that edge. They're opening up the holes. They're pole blocking and everybody, all five, Jamon, you know, Havenstein. I mean, they're looking great. Blythe popping in there, but the guy, you know, with the glory, I just got to give it to Gurley. I mean, he's just when he turns that corner, it's just hard to catch him. He's a blur.
Yeah.
Here's a bigger question.
He's on pace for 20 touchdowns.
Here's my question. Who's more of an MVP candidate? Todd Gurley the rusher or Todd Gurley the receiver?
That's a million dollar question.
That's nice seeing him have the ball. Ball out of the backfield. I mean, it just throws off a full defense. They can't just sit back and you know, just play it and not have to worry about him anymore. The guy's, I mean, he's got phenomenal hands and the things that it opens up the offense. I mean, literally, it looks almost like, you know, we're talking GSOT all the time. It gets mentioned. Well, that was Marshall Faulk out of the backfield, and that's kind of what it resembles, watching Gurley come out.
I would say that screen yesterday was very impressive. The run after catch was great. That was he almost scored. So
he should have. He deserved it.
I got to say this about Todd. I was hanging out in L.A. and I was at a show and I saw Todd Gurley come in and I said what's up, and I never take pictures of anybody. Like I've seen like Adam Sandler at the grocery store and I'm like whatever. But I saw Todd Gurley and just fangirled out. Took a photo with him. He was hanging out with Dominic Easley. Which no one knew who he was, but I did, and he loved it. He had this big old walking boot on. He was, like, super fresh, took a picture. So Dom Easley and Todd Gurley are out on the town with Johnny Football.
Oh, wow.
What?
I wasn't expecting that name.
Johnny Manziel. And my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, no, Todd, what are you doing, bud? Dude, how many times I looked over at his drink to make sure it was water? I must have walked into the back kitchen after
nerves,
they took it away.
Really,
and
really
it.
Bad. your nerves.
Why is Johnny Football smelling that sugar? He keeps smelling that sugar. What is he doing?
But it was all good. They're all drinking water. I think Johnny's trying to get out to the CFL, but it was all good. So I was happy.
One random note for you guys. Through 8 games, Todd Gurley is on pace for 676 receiving yards this season. Tavon Austin's single season high is 509.
Now, Joe, now you got to take it there.
Yeah, Joe, come on.
You just had to kick him when he was down. You couldn't let him win.
Awareness is power. Awareness is power, boys.
I love Tavon this season, but, you know, it's hard to see past that price tag, but, God, he's doing some great stuff.
He really is doing his job effectively for, you know, what they want him to do. He's doing it. He's playing more traditional running back than he ever has before, and he's still picking up nice chunks of yards, and he's giving Gurley that
blocking
breather,
too.
But he's always been a good blocker. I think that's always been an underrated part of him because of his size, but he's so damn tough and feisty, but he'll get it. He'll mix it up with anybody. He doesn't care. That mm-hmm. touchdown run that Gurley had against the Cardinals where he bounced it outside, like nobody talked about it, but – first off, this is Patrick Peterson, one of the most athletic people in the NFL, one of, if not the biggest corner in the NFL. The dude is thick, you know, and Tavon just took those legs out. It was he stood no chance. He completely cleared that and opened it up for Gurley to go score. So he does his job, you know, but again, that price tag is he's being paid to do more. But so real quick, we'll move on to the next one. Oh, yeah, by the way, my MVP is
– go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, who's your MVP? Let's hear it first.
It's John Sullivan. It's been that since February or March, whenever the hell he signed that contract. It's been John Sullivan. It's not going to change. I finally heard the boy Goff give him some love in an interview after the game talking about the difference that he's made up front. And he said that his exact words was Andrew Whitworth gets a lot of the credit, but I don't think that John Sullivan gets talked about enough, and it put a smile on my face. John Sullivan, good job.
So here's an interesting thought, because I was just going to say that I put that Whitworth piece on the site last week when we were doing midseason awards across SB Nation. And even in the comments, social media, we kind of had the same discussion we just had, Whitworth and Gurley. Does it bother anybody that not once did we bring up Aaron Donald's name?
No, it doesn't.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No. However, screw that guy.
Moving on.
I did hear an interesting stat earlier today, though, coincidentally enough, about Aaron Donald. And it was that Pro Football Focus was saying that for every 5 dropbacks, their Aaron Donald has a pressure or something like that, which is some insane number. And when they were saying it, I was just like, well, wait a minute. And I started thinking about the game yesterday, and I was like, well, let's see. Eli's like 3rd dropback. He sacked, strip fumbled. He had another one that got called back to penalty. I was just like, well, I'll be damned. He really is there. It was one of those things, you know it, but you don't know it. You know, like it didn't really dawn on me how disruptive he's been since he got back. So, it's not disappointing because, unfortunately, defensive players always get overlooked when you talk about MVP.
Do you think it's part of the reason that none of us are mentioning it is because of the holdout? You know, a little bad feelings for some of us guys?
Oh, no. No, because I say get your money. I stood on that, and I still stand on it. He should still be old now. But anyway, so moving on to the next award, most improved player, comeback player, who do you got? Joe, let's start with you, because I've been wondering about this all day.
Yeah, well, it's got to be Gurley, but here's the thing is that, you know, my feelings on the running back position are part of the problem, right, is that it's a system-dependent mm-hmm. position. The thing is, now that he's got a system, he's flourishing, right? The skills are always there, whether it's power, speed, acceleration, cutback ability. He's got all of it. It's just one of those things where when the system's not in place, it almost doesn't matter how good your running back is because they can't do these kind of things. There's nowhere for them to go. The first run yesterday, by the way, the first run of the game yesterday was the kind of run that we just didn't see enough from Todd Gurley in 2016. He took the handoff, went to the outside, and there was nothing there.
Yep.
He didn't try to dance around. He didn't try to switch the field. He just waited.
He stopped.
And eventually it opened up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pulled a Le'Veon. He completely stopped his feet, let it develop, and then hit it, which I was
and that's the most improved thing. It's not even Todd Gurley as a player. It's just Todd Gurley, the maturity to trust his teammates and have that capability not to do everything himself. It's a team game. Let your team play the game too.
In Todd Gurley's career, I'm someone that has watched every snap he's taken, even his senior year of high school. I've seen all of the games. I have never seen him do that before. That was the first time I ever seen him stop, let the blocks develop, and then go.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it, ever, not from Todd Gurley. So I was genuinely shocked, and you could definitely see the progression just in his game throughout the season and things like that. You see those things continue to happen, and it makes you happy. But, Ralph, who do you got, most improved player or comeback player?
Ooh, I'm going to go with most improved. I'm going to go with Greg Zuerlein. I used to just turn around and just close my eyes and go to a happy place when he was kicking last season. And you know, when he was, what did he put up, 7 field goals in a game?
Yeah,
I think he's only got one miss all season.
Yeah,
he has one miss all season.
I mean, he's just, I mean, last year he was getting better. It was when he made the move to LA, it really helped him. But I think even just this year, like, I actually have a feeling of like, okay, I don't feel too bad about this 45 yarder or this, you know, 50 yarder and anything like that. I know he's got the leg, but the accuracy is falling now.
That's a really good pick, actually. And here's a little, here's a little tidbit about him. I'm not sure too many people knew, but in college, he was 23 of 24 his last year, and he didn't miss a single kick over 50 yards. The one kick he missed of the 23-24 was a block. Furthermore, he had 2 game-winning kicks during that season, and one of them was a 62-yarder into the wind when the wind was going all crazy that he drilled.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would say that this year he's kicking like that guy. So,
yeah.
But,
I think he just couldn't kick on turf.
I agree.
And you know, that's the crazy thing about it. He really does have a higher success rate on the grass than he does on turf, except for the Washington game, which I think it was the beginning of his downfall. In his second season, I think it was 2013, where he missed that first kick, and then he missed the next kick, and then he missed the next kick, and I think it created a case of the yips, where you know, an athlete gets into his own head because of one mistake, and kind of creates that snowball effect. And after that, he really had a rocky year, and then he had a rocky start to the next year before he got back on track, and since he's got back on track, it's carried over into this year. So I definitely love what I'm seeing from Greg. That's for sure, especially since I have him on one of my fantasy teams.
Me too.
Just one? Come on.
I would have got him on a team in on the Turf Show Times fantasy roster, but someone, Joe, decided to draft all the Rams players.
And he's doing pretty well.
By the way, here's a random fact. Greg Zuerlein went to high school at Pius 10th High School in Lincoln, Nebraska. One other NFL player went to the same high school. That would be Oakland Raiders center Adam Treu, who played in the league for a decade. That's the most Nebraska thing ever, to have your high school produce two players. One's a kicker and one's a center. Good job, Nebraska.
Ralph, or Brian, who do you have for your most improved or comeback player?
I would say it's probably comeback, just due to his rookie season. He played phenomenal lights out at right tackle, Havenstein.
Thank you.
You know, what do you have, like one holding penalty and like maybe one sack as rookie or something like that?
Yeah.
He showed really, like, his stats where he was really good. You know, I still thought he was a little thin in the pants. Need to bulk up a little bit as a rookie. And then we all know his last year, you know, everybody was down, but his play went way down compared to where it was. And I know there was mentions of a foot injury and some other things that were going on with him. But him stepping up at the right tackle spot and basically coming back and playing pretty much like he did as a rookie is another reason why the line is as good as it is. I really liked Havenstein coming out of the draft, too. I missed one. So, he was one of the guys that I know I was going into my little draft that we always get into it every year that I really liked.
Yeah.
He's got first kick step is unbelievable for a guy his size. He's got quick feet, especially that first step. And it looks like he's bulked up. I mean, when you see him on the sideline now, no one's as big as Witt, but man, Havenstein looks like he's really hit the weights the last year and put on some extra weight, especially in the lower body, and he's not taking that bull rush the way he did last year. He's actually holding his ground, and guys aren't pushing him back into the quarterback. So I think that's been the biggest difference. And that's why I'd say for comeback guys, I mean, if we're talking about what's going on with the team, the O-line has been phenomenal. Witt and then Havenstein, and then not to mention your boy Sullivan, those three guys have really locked down. It's funny we don't talk about Saffold, but, I mean.
I'm getting there right now. You see, sometimes I actually like you, and this is one of those times.
Every great once in a while, we agree on
it. Every great once in a while. But, no, seriously, like. When I was coming up with this question, I couldn't pick one, and it was literally left guard through right tackle. All of them are having career years, and Sullivan, he's having a hell of a year, a comeback year. I think he was probably the biggest question mark on offense outside of Jared Goff, because it was coming off of 2 years of injuries and the age, and nobody really knew what to do. Yeah, you got Whitworth's age, but you knew what he was doing, before he got here. It was a huge question mark for Sullivan. And then you have Roger Saffold, who's quietly actually been the most consistent Rams offensive lineman this year. He's allowed the least amount of pressure on the quarterback, and his run blocking has been exceptional.
Great run blocking.
He's moving bodies all over the place, And then, of course, you got Jamon Brown, who is absolutely kicking ass. Now, let's take it
he's
back
run blocking
to preseason.
Too.
Let's take it back to preseason, Joe. Remember game one in preseason? That missed block, and everybody on the site was talking about it. I don't think there's a soul out there, myself included, and I've been a fan of Jamon Brown since he was drafted, but myself included, I don't think there's a soul out there that thought that Jamon Brown will be playing as well as he's playing. It's really, really been impressive. So for me, comeback, most improved, whatever you want to call it, left guard through right tackle. I'm not even going to talk about right tackle because, Brian, you did a good job covering that one, but just across that side, can't include Whitworth because he's like a damn all-pro already, so whatever, show off. But the rest of them, they're absolutely handling business. All right, so real quick, I think we all going to probably be unanimous on this. Probably not, because I'm wishy-washy like that. But who do we have?
No, Rob's going to pick somebody crazy. Rob's going to pick somebody crazy. Bradley Marquez.
Who do we have?
Dawson Davis still on the roster.
Defensive player of the year, Brian, you up first. Give it to me quick. What you got?
Well, it's got to be Aaron Donald, but I would love to say Mark Barron. He's a real close second to me. The guy seems to be in the backfield making the tackles. I love what Barron's doing. He's undersized. I know the NFL's gone to Buchanan. He's been awesome in Arizona, and Barron's kind of really taken over that role. Very similar. Donald's the easy pick, but the way Barron's been playing and just all over the field, and the way he tackles in the box lately, I don't think he's missed a tackle. I can't remember the last time I've seen him miss a tackle, anywhere. Which, unfortunately, I can't say that for Ogletree, but, Barron is just he's balling. I love the way he's playing.
You know what? I said in the beginning of the season, with contracts looming all over the place and everyone needing to be resigned, and when asked about Alec Ogletree, I actually said I would prefer to let him walk and keep Mark Barron in that ridiculous $9 million a year contract. I would rather deal with that than deal with Ogletree, but they resigned him, so I guess it is what it is now. Oh, Ralph, who do you have, defensive player of the year?
Yeah, it's got to go Donald. The amount of time he's in the backfield is insane. He's in there, more than the running back is, it seems like. He's just causing havoc. Balls and sacking, strip sacking. Oh, it's just. He's so much fun to watch because he's so damn short, and he just gets in there and he's like practically going under people's legs, and it's great to watch.
Joe, who do you have? This is gonna be
the answer, Donald. But the runner up is it's hard to pick either Trumaine Johnson or LaMarcus Joyner. The play of the secondary has been phenomenal.
Love Joyner.
I absolutely love those guys this year, bro.
I definitely was stepping outside the box, and I was going to go with LaMarcus Joyner. I mean, the dude has been shutting cats down. It was definitely a difference when he missed those two games as opposed to when he was in. I mean, LaMarcus, I mean, look at the first play of the season.
Right?
That interception was gorgeous.
He punked T.Y. Hilton that game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it really hasn't stopped since he's gotten back from his groin injury or hamstring. He's just picked up where he left off. And he's absolutely been eliminating anyone that lines up in the slot, has been completely taken out of the game. And when he's playing deep field, they don't even throw it deep because he's covering the deep so well. Like, he's just having a hell of a year. I could go with the cliche, and I could definitely say Aaron Donald, and I don't think no one would argue, but I got to show some love to LaMarcus because, man, the dude is absolutely killing it.
But it's nice to see True get moved around the field. I like the way True is being locked up on the number one lately. They're not just
doing a great job.
Go figure it was on a tight end this week. But Ingram, dude, that guy, man, he's going to be tough for years for anybody to cover. That guy for the Giants, he's.
Well, when you're 6'3", 240 running a 4.4, that's what happens. But so real quick before we get on to the next game, real quick, everyone just real quick rattle off who's your rookie of the year. This is hard because it's kind of all over. A lot of rookies have been participating, but who's your rookie of the year, Joe?
I'm gonna go with John Johnson only because the last couple of weeks the scope of his contribution has been so strong. It had to be Cooper Kupp before John Johnson got the nod, but since he's gotten it. Cooper Kupp has made some plays where you go, yeah, that's a rookie. Even the penalties that he had on Sunday where he was blocking that screen too early. That's one of those things where you go, it's a good problem to have where, he wants to block, he wants to be aggressive, he wants to open up that play, but it was a rookie mistake where he hadn't learned. John Johnson's not making those kind of mistakes.
No, he's not. No. Cooper Kupp, he's leading the team in drops too. He's had one pivotal drop that would have changed the dynamic of the overall season so far, but that's neither here nor there. But Ralph, who do you got? Rookie of the year?
I'm gonna agree with John Johnson. He's the way he stepped up, with losing Mo and getting rid of him. And can we say this about our defense? Every single one of the players are playing up they're fighting up in rank and in weight. From Aaron Donald being smaller, you got guys like Ogletree and Bear and undersized inside linebackers. Besides, the only one who's probably big for his position is Trumaine Johnson. I mean, we got Joyner, who's nickel guy moving back there, and John Johnson moving to strong safety. It's like these little guys are swarming.
They're feisty. It's the little guy syndrome. The small dogs always bark. Brian, who do you have, rookie of the year?
Well, my guy was Johnson. Joe said it best. The guy's been, since he's taken the job, it's been balling. You got to love Cooper, though. I mean, for a guy that, all the way through summer camp where they're saying things like the kid knows every position. If you don't know what you're doing, if you get to the line, just look at Kupp and he can tell you what it is. I think he's also as a package with Woods and Watkins. It's just three receivers you can't man up on now. So having a guy like Kupp running that inside slot spot, that's really Goff. I know they, like you said, he's had some drops. Like I said earlier with Goff, I'd like to see him hit. Well, it's usually on Kupp where he's just off a little bit on Cooper to make it really difficult on him. But watching Cooper Kupp's game, just seeing how that's coming around. And, like you said, Mike, if one of these keeps catching that ball, we got to stop those drops. If he is dropping some – at the end of the season, he didn't drop anything. Last two or three games, he's had a couple drops that you're like, dude, really? You're not supposed to be dropping that ball. Come on, man.
Exactly. My guy is flying way under the radar because he's doing all the dirty work, but his dirty work has released a better pass rush and cause the whole defense in front seven to play better, and that's Tenzel Smart. You already knew what it was. Ever since they inserted him in and kicked Brockers out to the outside, it completely changed the dynamic of that defense. Like, that one move changed everything, and they are a much better defensive unit because of it. Again, he doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but when you can make your entire side of the ball better because of your insertion, mm-hmm. I think you deserve a lot of love for that. So,
yep.
with that being said, let's move on to Houston. We got our awards out there. So, what are you guys looking forward to in the Houston game? A lot changed after the Deshaun Watson injury. This was a huge game coming up. You know, this was a huge game coming up. But the Deshaun Watson injury, that definitely threw a curveball into the hype of the game. I think now it's kind of being, you know, looked at as a wash, or not a wash, but just a pushover. Like, it's probably being viewed as a cakewalk, you know. But still, can't take any team for granted. That's not the mentality you want, because that's what creates what we were calling the Giants a trap game. So what are we looking forward to in the Houston game, Ralph?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm hoping that Robert Quinn can kind of, you know, take over. You know, Savage tends to hold on the ball a little too long. And Quinn is literally a half step on some of these, you know, strip sacks that we're so accustomed to seeing. That just so close.
Keep your feet.
And Savage likes to hold on to it.
No, absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I said the same thing a few weeks ago.
I'm not following too close, but if Brown is still their left tackle, you know, he's going to have his hands full. No? So then, well, there you go.
No,
Quinn,
he's with the Seahawks.
Hop over him
they
and grab him.
Yeah, he's with the Seahawks. He's gone. We're going to face him here in a couple weeks with Seattle. They don't – their
Man.
Left tackle is – they ain't a Pro Bowler anymore.
No excuses, Robert.
Brian, what are you looking forward to in this game?
Just more of the same. Be consistent. I mean, I don't want to see him get away with Gurley. At Houston now, it's tough to know what you're getting from them. I mean, you're with Savage at quarterback instead of Watson. I mean, you got to really feel bad for that franchise. I mean, J.J. Watt on defense, and then this rookie quarterback that was lighting up the league, just going down. I mean, it's almost like the Giants at this point. Just don't have a letdown. This is a game that, at this point, with losing two basically look like Pro Bowl type players, offensive defense, this is a game that we should win. So,
can someone get Bill O'Brien a goddamn quarterback, please?
He had one.
He can't catch a break, though.
He had one, and I mean, when those are the worst, though, when it's a non-contact, it's like how unlucky can you be? You know, like, what? Like, you're just walking, and it just breaks. Like, those are terrible, but he definitely had one. He was tearing it up. I mean, he was on his way to Rookie of the Year.
When it comes to a player, I think it's going to come down to true against Hopkins. If I'm looking at a matchup to go in that game. I mean, Hopkins had a good game last week. If True's going to step up and be making that money that he's making, this might be the first matchup I see going forward that I think is going to play a big point in who wins the ball game this week. He's got to shut down Hopkins or at least maintain him, you know, try and keep him somewhere around maybe 5 for 60 and no TDs, and I'd be happy with that.
I would too. Joe, what you looking forward to in this game?
I'm looking forward to you explaining your version of a non-contact injury of somebody just walking, and then the ACL. What kind of ACL injuries have you seen, Myson? Dude just walking down the street. Ah, my knee.
Okay, so
it happens all the time
record,
at the YMCA, guys.
For the record, I can't make this shit up. I have seen a guy tear his ACL walking.
Oh, man.
Oof. Okay. I don't know. I have the best stories. I don't give a damn what anyone says. So check this out. College, sophomore year, blizzard, snow everywhere, ice on the ground, thick guy walking in Crocs. Why? I don't know, but he's walking in Crocs. He slipped walking across the street and started screaming and holding his knee. Me and a teammate, we're walking to the gym. We just stop and looking at him like, you know, what the hell is wrong with him? Dude is screaming, holding his knee. See the dude, like, 2 days later, leg all busted up. I'm like, hey, man, saw you fall. What happened? Oh, man, I tore my ACL. How the hell you tear your ACL? I was like, what the hell? I was like,
hey, you know what?
That?
If there's anyone that deserves it,
I slipped on some ice.
If there's anyone that deserves it, it's anyone who buys Crocs.
Yeah. And why you're wearing Crocs in 12 degree weather in the snow, who knows? But I've seen a lot of people wear some stuff in that snow up there. But it is what it is. But yeah, definitely seeing someone turn ACL walking, Joe.
God works in mysterious ways. Here's the one thing that I'm most interested in. Is Houston for real? Like, I get it, Deshaun Watson went down and they didn't have time to deal with it and whatever. Are they for real going to roll with Tom Savage? Like, he was 19 of 44 last week. They lost to the Colts at home. You know you can play somebody else. Like Ralph said, go get him a quarterback. What are you doing with Tom Savage? You don't have to do that. You don't have.
They could always go get Cap, but I don't know. Bob,
yeah, okay,
McCarry.
But we talk about Houston, Texas. You know damn well Bob Nair.
I would rather have
Savage's other brothers. You know, Fred Savage. You know, any of those guys could throw a ball at that. Better than him.
Look, all I'm saying is Bob McNair. He likes his prisoners to be on lock.
Yeah, right.
And Kaepernick is with all that. So.
His prisoners.
So I don't know.
Hey, it'd be a good PR move.
There you go. Here's what I'd say is that they threw the ball 44 times with Tom Savage. I'm pretty sure out of the four of us, if we were coaching the Texans this week, we're running the ball way more than we're throwing it. You got to expect some combination of Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman, especially with the Rams running defense. We'll have to see, but that's the battle I'm most interested in.
Absolutely. That's 100% what I'm looking forward to, trying to see if the Rams are going to be able to keep the, it's very simple. If the Rams can keep Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman off the field more often than not in the first quarter, they're probably going to build a sizable lead because
here's what I want. Force Tom Savage to throw the ball towards LaMarcus Joyner and Trumaine Johnson. Make that happen.
Oh, yeah. That would put a smile on my face. I'd be in a good place to hit. But if they could do that, then we're off to a nice start to the game. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how the Rams handle the run game. I think that's going to be the deciding factor of how the game goes early on. If they are not able to stop them from running, and Lamar Miller is a really good running back, and Deontay Foreman, that's a bull with a lot of speed. You know, if they get going early, then the Rams are going to be in some trouble. And considering their troubles with the run, it's a possibility that they could very well dictate how this game goes. So, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. So,
Mike is Will Fuller, the home run hitter. Kayvon Webster's going to have to lock him down. That guy,
Kayvon Webster,
the game up. Well, I'm just saying, dude,
I mean,
Fuller,
no, real
yeah,
quick, hold on, look. Real quick, you throwing me off, but screw it. I don't give a damn. Let's talk about this for a second. Because Kayvon Webster, what the hell, man? Like, I'm watching him, and I'm just like, this dude, if the D-line wasn't putting the pressure on the quarterback that they've been putting in the recent games, it's a lot of plays where this dude is getting burned. And I'm just like, why does everyone think that he's some starting corner? The dude didn't start for years. He came to the NFL – was a third or fourth round draft pick, whatever the hell he was thrown into a starting role because they didn't have anyone else to start, didn't do diddly shit. And now all of a sudden he's about to be a savior on the other side of defense from Trumaine Johnson. Hell no. He hasn't done anything. But anyway, you don't say his name around me.
You will. Say his name around me.
Will Fuller, man. That guy's got the wheels.
Yeah, Fuller going to kick his ass, man, all day. The hope is that the D-line is going to be able to get to him before Tom Savage can throw the ball, and that Tom Savage is going to be Tom Savage and just be off target anyway. And LaMarcus Joyner is going to play deep over the top and make sure he helps out Kayvon Webster, because Kayvon Webster ain't shit. But anyway, on to the next subject.
Hey, you're gonna send him some Crocs over the summer, I bet.
Yeah, I'm gonna send him some Crocs. I'm gonna do it in the winter.
Take a long walk
and
out
some black ice. Do it in the winter time. And hope you slip on some
black
ice. We
coming for you, Kayvon, with Crocs.
So real quick, before we get on to college football here, just give me 1 minute. Tell me what it is exactly. What game are you most looking forward to left on the schedule? And, Ralph, go.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to be I'm actually a little worried about our second Niner game.
Really?
Somehow. You know what? I don't know what it is about the Niners, but they do to us what we do to Seattle. I mean, not this season, but previous seasons. I don't know what it is. They have some magic where they played like, you know, like one of the best.
They nearly did it this
US,
season.
And, like, I feel like, man, I don't know what they're drinking back there, you know, that's making them play so well against us and them play so bad against other teams.
Rivalry
like,
game.
Oh, yeah. So nice. I don't know why, you know, I want to say Seattle, but, you know, that 49er
Look,
game, I'm not chalking it up as an easy win.
All I have to say is that we've been the 49ers this year for years,
yes.
And we've played the Seahawks when they were the Seahawks, and we've beaten them, I think, 5 of the last 7 times or something like that, even though we were the Rams and they were the Seahawks. So when you talk about those rivalry games, it brings the best out of you. So that makes perfect sense. Brian, what game are you looking forward to?
Oh, Eagles right now. I'll be there. I hope they move that to Sunday night. Dude, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. I mean, talk about hype right now. I mean, if we both keep winning, which I'd expect us to do, I mean, that game's going to be lights out. It'd be fun to watch, you know. I guarantee the blogging will go back and forth that week. It's insane of all the guys that wanted Carson Wentz instead of Goff. So I'm pretty sure I'll take a ton of crap that week for being the, you know, the Goff homer that I am.
Hey, look, you can't say shit unless you're talking about Kayvon. If you're not talking about Kayvon, you're talking about your mouth.
Rude. I like toilet crap. Nobody – what is that phrase? Who has ever said that before?
I've never heard that before.
It's a specific type is what it is.
As opposed to the other form.
Yeah.
Joe, what game are you looking forward to, man?
Yeah, see, it's hard. I'm gonna be that asshole that doesn't answer the question according to the constraints. I'm picking the 2-game road stretch, week 15 and 16. Because here's the thing: since 2010, we haven't played December football that meant a damn, right? December football was what the Giants are playing. Play your young guys, get some tape for your free agents that you're not going to re-sign, so that they can, like Kenny Britt, go hit a contract in the off season. And get through the season and get ready to go come back next year. That's not the kind of December that we're looking at. And, you know, assuming that we get some results, Houston at home, an Arizona return game that, you know, both of those look like games that the Rams should be expected to win at this point. You're talking about a team that's got 8 wins at the minimum by the time that we go to that week 14 game.
That's a good point.
Against Philly.
That's a very good point.
And by the, so 2 road games in December with a chance to really set up for the playoffs, that's new ground, man. Well, at least, like you said, it's nice to have it again, but it's been a damn long time.
They're going to be coming off that Eagles game, too. So I personally, I got to go with the Eagles game. I've had this circle for a long time. It's no secret that I wanted Wentz over Goff. So it's always going to be whenever they get the opportunity to play each other, you're always going to be watching. With that being said, I think people get it so confused. I wanted Wentz over Goff. That don't mean that I don't like Goff. That don't mean I thought he was a bad quarterback. Go back and read my scouting report.
I was the same.
I did not like him. I just liked Wentz more. However, I definitely think that this game is going to be so ridiculously exciting. I think it's going to be a great matchup, and I honestly believe it's going to be the game of the year. It could be a sneak peek. You know, let Ben Albright tell it. It's probably a sneak peek to the NFC Championship. So, hey, you know, we never know, but we'll see how it goes. Joe, what do we got?
And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Kayvon Webster's going to win that game. Kayvon Webster's going to get a pick six against Carson Wentz, and he's going to point right in the camera. He said, "That's for you, Bison."
You lucky I'm a Christian. I'm not, but but still, I would have said some stuff. Look, if Kayvon Webster finally does anything at all, I haven't seen him do shit all year, like at all. if he does anything, I'll never say anything about him again. He has 8 games to do one thing. Let's see if it happens. But anyway,
there you go.
Joe, what you got for college football, man?
Oh, this one's one of those weeks where there's too much. This was the, you know, you had 7 games between ranked teams, and pretty much all of them, maybe not Georgia, South Carolina, but pretty much all of them lived up to the hypes. It was one of those weekends when college football just smacks you in the teeth and says, remember me? It was just too much. There was too much football that was too good, and it was too hard to keep up with it. You had, like I said, Georgia handled South Carolina. There's a reason why they've been put at number one above Alabama. They showed why. Alabama still, though, handled business against LSU, ranked 19th, maybe the most disappointing 19th in the country that we've seen in a couple of years, but they handled it. Clemson, North Carolina State, a one touchdown game. You know, we've talked about North Carolina State a hell of a lot this year. They showed why those guys can play, and it kind of sucks that they've fallen to the state that they're in, because they're probably going to drop out of the rankings after this one. But you know, Bedlam, that game was nuts, man. It's 114 points. That's Mike Gundy's haircut in a football game. It was everything you wanted and then more. Iowa. Iowa put up 55 points on Ohio State. That was too much.
Oh, man. Yep.
I was like, what the hell is this shit?
I feel prepared.
I couldn't believe
they won me $60.
That was a terrible, terrible game. But I will say this, Joe. I said it last week. I'm gonna keep telling you, damn it. I said the Mizzou Tigers are going to win out the season and have a respectable 7-5 record after starting 1-5. And God damn it, I'm right so far. I told you they were going to beat Florida. They're going to win
out. That Florida team looks very New York Giants-esque.
they're going to win out, Joe. And I think I'm going to be at the Tennessee game this upcoming week, so screw it. Go all out, balls to the wall.
Brian, you watch a lot of college ball. What'd you see, man?
Right now, those are the games I like watching the most are the Big 12 games. I mean, dude, all they do is put up 62 to 52 ball games back and forth. If you watch any of those games, they're entertaining. But I'm a homer. I don't miss a Trojan game, so of course I'm looking forward to watching USC roll over Rosen and the Bruins. Can't stand them. And I wish we wouldn't have choked the way we did against Washington State early. Too many injuries. That's why you already see it. Porter Gustin, first-round pick.
Hey, here's something for you, Mr. USC himself. We finally got a Ronald Jones sighting. Like, this was the Ronald Jones I think people were expecting coming into the season more often than not. The dude balled out, and he almost had 200 yards rushing.
Yeah.
You know, he had 194 and 3 touchdowns. I was like, where the hell has he been all year?
Honestly, a lot of it's been O-line play for the Trojans. If you've watched the games, they had some guys coming back with experience, and then they were nicked up 3-4 guys down the line, just banged up. And you're playing freshman and sophomore again. They're not going to win a lot of games. You're going to have problems.
Well, yeah, they lost 4 starters this past year, so that's understandable. And I think they lost both tackles and both guards, actually, right? So, I mean, you lost it all, so that makes sense. But nevertheless, where the hell has Ronald Jones been? I mean, he did it this game, so he could have done it another game, right? But it is what it is, I guess.
But teams
are watching. Does Ralph you watch any college ball?
You know, when I watch college ball, I really just watch, for some reason, I follow the quarterbacks. I just follow the skill players. And all I'm trying to figure out is who's going to be the Browns' next quarterback. Is it Rosen? Is Darnold staying? Like, you know, is Lamar Jackson going to
be
their
Lamar
wide receiver
Jackson,
quarterback? You know, who is going to the Browns?
You know what? It has to be Lamar Jackson. I think at this point they've watched.
Oh, that's such a Browns move, too.
But no, it's not. They've watched every other team take the most explosive quarterback in the draft year after year, and then it blows up in their face. They did it again this year with Deshaun Watson, and it's just like, at what point do you learn your lesson, right? So,
it's
got to be
Lamar
Jackson.
You think he plays quarterback, though?
Oh, yeah. They'll definitely try him at quarterback way before they move him, and I don't think he gets moved, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, you know what I hate saying is the Niners being 0-9 and sucking the way they do. That trade for Garoppolo, only giving up a second, you know, having that number one pick, and if somebody wants to move up like the Rams did for Goff, they're going to come up with a boatload of trades to help build that franchise.
Yep. Or you think they stay put and grab like a Barkley?
No, I would not for a running back. I'd say trade those picks.
By the way, I guess this is the appropriate time to mention. Oh, go ahead, bro.
I don't want Barkley in the NFC West.
No.
Hey, God. Real talk, if Barkley comes to the NFC West, you guys, that's going to be the end of TST for me because I'm going wherever he goes.
Oh, man.
Wherever he goes, I got to go. But no, Barkley.
The great thing
Barkley,
I love about Saquon Barkley is one of my favorite quotes ever was Jeff Fisher saying about Todd Gurley that running backs like him only come around every 10 years. This is year four. We got six more years of Leonard Fournette and Saquon Barkley to get to 10 years where supposedly there's no running backs. As good. I love Todd Gurley. I love JTG. But good Lord, did Jeff Fisher throw some hot, stinking fastballs right down the pipe, and the media just left the bat on their shoulder every damn week.
It's funny because he said that. And then since then, it's been nothing but backs getting drafted higher than Todd Gurley.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. All right, well.
So this week, I was going to say, the quick preview for this week, college ball for anybody looking ahead, especially if you're watching those skill guys, you don't want to watch Michigan State at Ohio State. That is not the game for you if you want draft-ready skill position guys. You might want to get Oklahoma State against Iowa State. We got to see about James Washington, the extent of that injury. I haven't seen if they said how bad that ankle injury is. But we'll have to see. May want to catch some of that North Carolina State against Boston College. If you're looking for edge rushers, you got Bradley Chubb, you got Landry. That's a solid game for edge rushing there. These are all noon games, by the way. Noon games always throw me off. There's always something about, you know, it's too early to drink unless you're just one of those guys, and I'm not. God bless you if you are. But drinking by noon for some college football, some Big Ten college football, that takes dedication. And I'm just too old and not committed enough. Georgia at Auburn, that's going to be a great one. That's on CBS, 3:30 Eastern. Florida State at Clemson at the same time. Can you imagine if Florida State hadn't dropped the ball, and obviously if DeAndre Francois hadn't gotten injured, you would have had Georgia, Auburn, and Florida State, Clemson at the same time. God made that not happen in a big way, and it's quite obvious why. Mississippi State quietly making noise, and Alabama's got to go there to play. Obviously, you still got the Iron Bowl coming up. But I could see an upset here. That's going to be an interesting one. And then the night game that nobody thought perhaps was going to be one, and I'm not talking about TCU at Oklahoma, which is both top 10 teams. Number 3, Notre Dame at number 10, Miami. We got to see the rankings come out for the playoffs tomorrow night at 7 to update based on those losses that we had from last weekend. Those are going to be some good games, man.
Oh, yeah. And I think Miami's going to jump. Miami's going to have a nice size jump in these next rankings. They could very well be number 4. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But with that, Ralph, Brian, definitely appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh,
anytime.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Definitely enjoyed the chats. Make sure you follow Ralph at Ralph Comedy on Twitter, or you can follow Brian at TDAnderson912 on Twitter as well. Thank you guys for coming on. Definitely going to have to get you on here one more time sometime in the future.
Let's do a draft one.
I'm coming for you. You know I'm coming for you. All right, guys. You guys take care.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Later. All right. So we are now here in our final moments, and there's two fan questions that I really wanted to get to really quickly before we get out of here. There was two that stuck out to me mostly. We had a few of them. A lot of them came.
Yes,
from,
I do still listen to Curtis Blow, Myson, since you wanted to know.
Hey, you spit that a little too swiftly. I was just like, wait a minute. I feel like you've been waiting all season for the opportunity to drop that bomb. I was like, oh. But real quick, though, so on Facebook, Sebastian Butner, he said that, do you see any chances to get flex scheduled to Sunday night football down the road? Seahawks and Eagles come to mind, have one vacation day left with Sunday night football starting around 2 a.m. I would love to take Monday off. Now, when I saw that, it was interesting because I actually was having this conversation over the weekend where I was saying that I actually could see a scenario because of the way that the Eagles and the Seahawks game, the implications that they could carry. We've seen the NFL do this plenty of times in the past where that game could be moved to Sunday night to make it, you know, just for the bigger spotlight. The Rams, if they continue winning, if they win all the way up to the Eagles, the Eagles win all the way up to the Rams, I could definitely see that happen. Same thing with the Seahawks. So I wouldn't be shocked one bit if the NFL did it because it wouldn't be the first time they've done it. In fact, they did it with the Rams and Seahawks in 2010, Sam Bradford's rookie year, so which is also the same year that the Beastquake happened. So so it wouldn't shock me at all to see it happen one bit. And then the other question was, on a scale of 1 to 10, how true of a test is next week? 10 being the truest of true test and 1 being general run-of-the-mill true test, respectively. The simple truth of the matter is, like, the Deshaun Watson injury absolutely killed this game. This was going to be a really good game. If you thought the Seahawks-Texans game was good, this was going to be like
next the Patriots-Texans game.
Oh,
remember that New England-Houston game?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was going to be a really good one because you have Deshaun Watson, who somehow elevated the Texans to be higher scoring than the Rams. They were beating the Rams by like 0.3 points before yesterday. The Rams were averaging like 30.4 points, and the Seahawks was average, or not the Seahawks, but the Texans were averaging like 30.7 points or something like that. It was going to be a shootout. You know, it was definitely going to be a good game, but because of the injury, and, you know, I really, really hope that for a speedy recovery for him, all jokes aside, like, definitely hate to see a player go down, and especially when a young player who's ascending the way he was, but you want to see a speedy recovery. But with that injury, I think it's kind of going to be a one for me. It's going to be kind of a run-of-the-mill, similar to the Giants. You know, just how the, as you mentioned earlier, DeAndre Francois, what it did to that entire team. The Florida State is one of the most loaded teams in the country. Just by losing their quarterback, you can't even tell. You know, like, they're not even remotely close to playing as good as they are, or as good as they really are, even though they've missed their quarterback. They're still one of the best teams in the country, but you can't tell. And it's the same thing with the Texans. They're deflated, you know. So I definitely think it's going to probably be a bit of a run-of-the-mill type game. But with that, Joe, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, I think we said it all. The one thing I'll throw in there is that this New York game, whether it was a trap game or not, I think the trap game narrative was fair, but the Rams were just too professional of a team this year to deal with it. The difference was they had a bye week, right? Know that for, what, 4 or 5 weeks, I started getting louder and louder about some dissatisfaction with blowing these timeouts early in halves.
Yeah.
And guess what? Sean McVay had a bye week, and he went and fixed it. That's a sign of competent coaching. He had a problem. He said, hashtag, we'll fix it. But then, holy shit, he actually went and fixed it. That's one of those things that tells you, this guy knows what he's doing. Let him do what he does. The difference is he had 2 weeks to prepare for New York. You only got a week to prepare for Houston. So, you know, as much as the professionalism was quite evident in this Sunday and the lack thereof from New York's side, just made it an uncomfortable contest to wait that final 30 minutes just to finish that game. Houston's still playing for something, and they don't have the problem that New York has. They still are trying to get into the 2017 season.
Absolutely.
Even without Deshaun Watson. And so I think it's a different contest where, even though the Rams were favored by about a touchdown going into last week, and I could see that being the same given that Houston's coming to our place, I think it's a little bit different of a contest because Houston isn't going to sit down the way New York did. And, you know, look, if there's a trap game narrative again, so be it. But this is one of those things where the Rams have to be ready for this challenge because even without Deshaun Watson, they're going to come with something. And it's going to be more than what the Giants had. and it may be one of those games, not necessarily where you got to pull these weird hook and ladder type plays out, but you're going to have to figure out, you know, pre-postseason football is starting to turn up. And after this week, when we go to Minnesota, it's on.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, I thought that the just the overall dynamic of this, now that you mentioned Minnesota, was really interesting. For the Rams' upcoming games, you know, they were talking about it on ESPN, and they were saying that, oh, well, the Rams are one of the hot teams moving forward. And the way that they broke it down was you have the Texans. They said chances to win 58%. They said the Vikings was a 29% chance to win. Saints, 54% chance to win. Cardinals, 65% chance to win. And Eagles, 50% chance to win. Those are the Rams' next five games. And what stood out to me was you have the Saints and the Eagles on there who are playing really, really well, both teams. And they had a 54% and 50% chance against them respectively. But the Vikings, they're saying 29%. And I definitely found it to be interesting how much love the Vikings is getting. Not that it's not deserved, because it is very much so. Your boy Case Keenum is carrying them right now, but that defense is playing lights out, really good football. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
It's one of those things where, and I get that people have said it all over the place, the Rams are 5-0 away from the Coliseum. There's just no way around. I mean, 4-0 on the road, but obviously that home game against Arizona in London. This isn't a team that has a problem playing on the road.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season shakes out. Definitely something I'm looking forward to. I know Joe's looking forward to it. We got some exciting games coming up. Make sure we're all tuning in for this Texans game, because it's only going to get even crazier after this upcoming week. So with that being said, make sure you're following the site at Turf Show Times. Also, make sure you're following myself at Mighty or Myson, as well as Joe3K_. Again, thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Brian, for coming on. Follow the guys at Ralph Comedy and follow TD Anderson at 912. That's all we got for you this week. We'll talk to you next week. We out.
Starting us off, the Rams get down so nobody scores. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to dancing. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood Hampton, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Zeta, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back.
This limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special team. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
What they told me, and I like the block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
This is baby face and I don't yield. I'm a Texan fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
This is RB, no Speedball Brown. The fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready and I'm sure you'll agree, the ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
I'm pumping Iron Man. If Eric can't get it, I will and I can. I'm strong as it comes, but I've got a brain, and stopping me is like stopping a train.
I'm Carl Eve, the general of the D. I make the calls, I'm the coach in LB. This motorcycle, this has got style and class. If you come my way, I'll knock you on your ass. Today, the name's intimidated. I pass it my way, I'll see you later. Quicker on my feet, the ladies agree. Before they know it, they'll ram it with me. The Iceman coming, Leroy is the name. I cover the corner, interceptions my game. Score more than anybody else on the D, because I move like a cat, as you will see.
The guys call me Dickens, instead of Dickens, son. I lead the Rangers, I'm the Ram top gun. They say I'm as smooth as a runner can be. Even sweetness and the others are talking about me. I like to dance and have a lot of fun. When it comes to ladies, want a brainy one. But enough about me, we hit a ram it, you see. If you ram it just right, you can ram it all night.
Ram it.
Hold on. Now, I don't know what you don't know, but I do know what I mean when I tell you that the L.A. Rams really are my favorite team. They can move the ball. They can play defense. They can turn this mother out. Because the L.A. Rams in 2017 are what football's all about.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.